This is the official Euro 2024 podcast.
Germany have won Group A thanks to a late goal, a late equaliser against the Swiss.
Rams cross, it's 1-1! It's Füllkrug! And Germany rescue their situation right at the end!
Despite that goal, Switzerland are through too.
Meanwhile, in Stuttgart, Hungary score a 100th minute winner to secure third.
Now, Sonoy for Hungary. This could be their last chance. Szoboszlai stretches, it's in! Kevin Trumbot!
They'll have to wait to see if their win over Scotland is enough to reach the last 16.
We'll review it all and look ahead to Monday's games as Group B concludes with Albania, Spain and Croatia versus Italy. Welcome to the Euro Show with Chris and myself. As you might well be aware now, the full-time whistle has gone in Stuttgart and the Hungary players are celebrating a famous win.
They certainly are. They are stood in front of their supporters with their hands on their hearts, actually, singing to the supporters who are cheering them back after an extraordinary end to the game where they almost conceded. Scotland had a number of chances, but then, as you heard the commentary there, they broke away and they took their moment, they took their chance to pick up their first points in this section. It means they moved above Scotland, their opponents, and into third. And now they will have to wait to see if it's enough to progress as one of the best third-ranked teams. The goal scorer has just been pushed forward by his captain, Dominik Szoboszlai, to hug some of the photographers, actually, and take his moment of adulation. It could be, by the end of the group stage, one of Hungary's great moments at Euro, if that is the goal that sees them into the knockout stages.
Well, joining Chris and myself tonight is the former footballer and Euro 2024 co-commentator, Lucy Ward, live from Dortmund. Lucy, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, evening, boys. You okay?
Very good. And a great show to join us on because of all this late drama.
Wow. I was trying to watch two games at the same time and it really is not possible. But obviously because Scotland's game went on a little bit longer, it was a little bit agonising at the end.
And we're just seeing one of the reasons that there was 10 minutes of added on time was due to an injury in the game to Barnabas Varga. And we, of course, hope that he is okay after it. And a very touching moment here. Dominik Szoboszlai has put his jersey on and he has worn it in front of the Hungary supporters. He currently has it up in the sky and is beckoning all of the coaching staff over. And this is going to be quite an emotional moment as they hold up his shirt. And obviously, they, like us, hope that the injury that he sustained and he was stretchered off and that he will be okay from it. But this is a pretty powerful moment in Stuttgart after the huge high of Hungary scoring that very, very late goal.
Yeah, we'll get you more on this as the evening progresses. A reminder as well, if you want to get in touch on the show, do so on social media at Euro 2024. This show is live on Euro2024.com and the app every night. Plus, it's available as a podcast too. So let's focus on the other game in the group this evening, Chris. First of all, the top two meeting in Group A, where Switzerland played the host Germany.
And this one was very dramatic as well. And before we actually talk about what happened in the 90 minutes, I wanted to mention the Switzerland bus arrival, because if you've ever wondered what it sounds like from a player's perspective, then think no longer. So, they can hear you. Because, you know, you often think, you see these amazing bus arrivals and you're like, are they just in there with their AirPods on? But no, they could hear that. That was taken from inside the Switzerland team bus. And it ended up being a good night for them, Rob, after some very dramatic late happenings in that game too.
OK, to the action on the pitch, where Chris Wise was your commentator.
Ian Reader. Across it goes, yes! Down and dive for Switzerland! And the Swiss have startled the neighbours. Rams cross,
it 1-1. It's Füllkrug. And Germany rescue their situation right at the end.
Yeah, and those celebrations meant something because that late goal for Germany means that they go back above Switzerland in that live group standing. Switzerland were going above them with the win, but Germany win the group, which may well give them a more favourable draw. And we'll get to that. 7 points for Germany, 5 for Switzerland. Lucy, we get to the game. Where were you watching this one?
Well, I was watching, I watched the first half in a bar. There's a square in Dortmund. Well, there's a few squares in Dortmund, but there was a square where it had quite a few Germans. In fact, there's everybody, French, English, Dutch, Scottish, but there's a big fan park as well. So most of the Germans were watching it in there, but I was watching it with a couple of English people and a couple of Germans who were agonised in the first half because of their team's performance.
Well, Germany, interestingly, Germany went with the same 11, didn't they? And it was clear from that team selection, Chris, just how important this game was for Julian Nagelsmann, the head coach, despite the fact they were already through to the round of 16.
Yeah, and he had mentioned in his press conference the day before about how, listen, I can't tell my players that this isn't, you know, I'm ad-libbing a bit, but the most important game because it's the next game. And you can understand why, Lucy, because as a former player yourself as well, I guess you can't let them look too far ahead anyway, even though they were through. But to look forward to the round of 16 quarterfinal, I guess, wouldn't necessarily have been the message that Julian Nagelsmann would have wanted to give his players.
Absolutely. I think that that Germany have built up a lot of momentum. They've got the crowd on the side straight away. And I think that that consistency of selection is so important in tournament football. You know, you only really need to change within games if you've got sort of tired legs or if you've got injuries. And I agree with him putting that team out. But I think that Switzerland, certainly, that's the blueprint for playing against Germany, because Germany, you know, the way they played against Scotland, Hungary were a little bit better than Scotland against them, but they stretch you in all different directions and then go through you centrally. They want to open up that space for the two tens, and they don't really have the width other than at left back. Obviously, he works really well, Mittelstadt at left back. But I think Switzerland squeeze the centre, stop those four having any time, got in Kroos's face. Nobody's done that yet. You know, they've let him drop into left back like he does for Real Madrid, and then spray passes about. And I think that when Germany don't play with explosive wingers, that's the way to play against them. And I think Switzerland did really well, and they were brilliant when they regained possession as well and scored a good goal.
Yeah, Robert Andrzejczyk had a goal disallowed for Germany because of a foul in the build-up. Sort of 10 minutes before that, 28th-minute goal from Dan and Doy. How did you see that one, Lucy?
Yeah, I can say that. I think Switzerland, they played well. And the thing about Germany is that they play right up the pitch, and they front-load the pitch. And if you can get through that initial press, which Switzerland did, then all of a sudden, if you get in between the centre-backs, which is what Ndoye did, then you finish, that's the way to beat Germany. And I think that's the first side so far that's actually worked that on them. Switzerland, they've got good players, obviously, great ball in from that left-hand side. But, you know, if you can get at the two centre-backs, then they take risks. It's high risk, high reward, the way that Nagelsmann plays. And it's worked in the first two games. But to be fair to Germany, you know, they've each opponent's increased in terms of ability that they've played in the group stage, and they've handled it all quite well and dealt with it and got through in first place.
And of course, when the goal went in, Switzerland at that stage were winning the group. This would have been huge for them. The point enough to send them through, which I guess is the ultimate aim, Lucy. But from their point of view, having led for as long as they did, will there be, a slight frustration that they weren't able to go through in top spot, or will they just be celebrating the fact that in a tricky group, they managed to seal their round of 16 spot anyway this evening?
Yeah, I think when the dust settles, they'll be pleased that they're through in second place. But obviously, when you're winning for that long in a game and it's against the hosts, and you know you're not supposed to be doing that to the hosts, then I suppose there's some sense of frustration. But again, tournament football's about the next game, and you know, and Switzerland, you know, renowned for quietly just going about what they do and winning games and getting through group stages. So they've got enough good players to cause problems in that next round.
Switzerland denied a first competitive win over Germany in 86 years by that late goal, Chris. And interestingly enough, much has been made of the fact that Nagelsmann's been going with the same 11. It's subs that made it. And I wonder how important that's going to be into the latter stages of this competition. David Raum, the left-back with the delivery, and Phil Krug off the bench with the header.
And we saw their subs making an impact in Munich as well on opening night when they beat Scotland handsomely.
Emre Can, Phil Krug, yep. Both scoring. Yeah.
Both scored there. So I think clearly, and it's interesting that, Lucy, you've twice mentioned kind of tournament football and how often it is the squad that wins you a major tournament, right? Not just the starting 11 from the first or the second or the third game.
Yeah, I mean, Germany have got strength in depth, as a few countries do that in the Euro. And I think Füllkrug's so important for them because he's something that they haven't got. So when Havertz plays as the nine, he relies on runners in behind. The Swiss dropped that deep that they denied that space in behind and they couldn't find the answers to it, Germany. As soon as he comes on, put the ball in the box and I'll attack it. And that's exactly what happened. But, you know, it's about solving problems. And that's what Germany did. You know, they left it quite late, but, you know, they made the changes and different types of players caused problems for a defence that's obviously been set and playing against, you know, really kept everything in front of them, the Swiss. I thought they defended very, very well.
Have you got a sense of the optimism or the feeling amongst German fans even before the game as to how well their team have started this tournament, their ambitions in a home Euro here?
Yeah, I think initially, I don't think they had any hope whatsoever. And I think from the first couple of games, especially the Scotland game, where, you know, they obviously scored all those goals. Scotland weren't the best. But I think the Germans were like, ah, hang on a minute, they're doing all right. And he's got them sorted. And to be fair, I think it took Nagelsmann about probably four games of trying out different formations until he settled on what he's got now. And then he's refined it and it works. He's got his best players, you know, shining within that, you know, the likes of Gundogan and Wirtz and Musiala, that it works. And I think that they sort of grabbed hold of that. And I knew that Germany had scored because of the cheer from the fan pack comes before it comes on the TV, because I watched the second half here in my hotel room. But they are really happy because they're playing in Dortmund. And I'm really happy because that means I'm covering Germany in a knockout round in Dortmund. So everybody's happy, including me.
That's win-win, Lucy. It was a decisive night, of course, in Group A. Let's go to Stuttgart next, where Scotland faced Hungary. Scotland had 1 point. Hungary had no points. But both sides still had hope of being in the mix to qualify.
Now, Szoboszlai for Hungary. This could be their last chance. Szoboszlai stretches. It's in!
That was the winning moment. And Chris, really, it was a bit of a stalemate game in many ways. Scotland certainly weren't creating anything until the 10 added minutes,
yeah,
when it was just suddenly end to end.
Well, yes. So both teams, I think, knew that they had to win. Scotland, with a point, would have finished third. But 2 points has never been enough before to go through as one of the best third-ranked teams. So it was almost as if they both thought, let's not lose it in the opening 80, 85 minutes. And then suddenly, both started with three at the back, both ended with four at the back. The 10 added minutes, because of the injury to Varga, which is why it was 10 minutes. I mean, it was knockout stage football in the group stage. Scotland, through Grant Hanley in particular, had a very, very good chance to win it. And they would have moved on to 4 points, which probably would have been enough to go through. And then the quality of that counter-attack, actually, was pretty special from Hungary. The finish under that pressure to find the corner beyond Angus Gunn, and the scenes in the stands, they were attacking the goal where the Hungary supporters were, will live long in the memory, I'm sure, for them. And it means that they finished third. And as we mentioned, they don't know yet whether that is enough. 3 points has been enough in the past, but it depends on your goal difference sometimes. So a nervous wait now, but objective one was to win tonight, and Hungary did that in the most dramatic of circumstances.
Part of the reason we had this 10 additional minutes, Chris, was because of what happened with Barnabas Varga, the long delay as he received treatment on the pitch. What is the latest?
So the Hungarian FA have just tweeted this a couple of minutes ago. Barnabas Varga is in a stable condition, which is excellent news. Your player is currently in a hospital in Stuttgart, and we will inform you immediately if there's any news about his status. So again, we obviously wish Barnabas Varga a swift recovery and hope he's okay. That is the first news we have heard since the incident, and clearly that is good first news.
The celebrations were dedicated to him at full time as well. But Lucy, some achievement from Hungary. They're still in the mix for a place in the round of 16.
Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't particularly the best game. I think there's quite a lot of nervous tension around. And I think that, you know, Scotland will be kicking themselves agonisingly that they couldn't score. It's like there's just something missing. And I know they've got, you know, players injured, Scotland, and I think that's affected them throughout the group stage, particularly in that second game. But I think that Scotland will be gutted that they couldn't make the most of the chances. But great result for Hungary. And then, you know, McTominay had a chance, Hanley had a chance, and then, you know, Hungary did so well on the break. But it's one of those where you've got to go for it, and Scotland tried to go for it in the last 10 or 15 minutes, but just wasn't to be.
Scotland, on the night, in the end, actually had more possession than Hungary. Andy Robertson's been doing a post-match interview. The Scotland captain, Liverpool defender, thank you to the country. We felt everyone behind us. Sorry for letting you down. And ultimately, when they had that one chance, it fell to the centre-back, yeah, Grant Hanley. And it feels like Lucy's right here. You know, there was not that little bit of moment, that little bit of guile necessarily that could get Scotland in to get their winner.
I feel that Steve Clarke said before the tournament, didn't he, 4 points is the aim. And if you'd said, in added on time, you'll have the chance to get there in the third game,
yeah,
I think he would have taken it. And, I mean, we've mentioned their fans a lot, but they have had hundreds of thousands of supporters in Germany. The rendition of Flower of Scotland tonight was, I mean, it took you aback how loud it was. I think it took some of the players aback how loud it was. And of course, they were aiming for history. They've never been through a group stage in a major tournament, and that wait will have to go on. Lucy, I guess there'll be obvious disappointment, but ultimately, Rob, they came and they almost did write a new chapter in Scottish footballing history.
They certainly did. So Scotland headed out of Euro 2024. For this Hungary side, Chris, you know, they've had to battle back after what was a difficult opening match, that 3-1 defeat to Switzerland.
Yes, and if you remember, in the first half, they weren't the Hungary side that we had seen in qualifying. I think they were open after that game and admitted that. Second half, played pretty well. They caused Germany big problems. Big problems. Yes, they lost the game 2-0, but they had chances at 0-0 and at 1-0. And I think came away thinking we deserved a point. And then they've come to Stuttgart with a game plan. And yes, they scored in the 90 plus 10th minute, but that was enough to finish third. And if they do reach the round of 16, and it is still an if, and we won't know for a couple of days probably, then I can only imagine the confidence that goal will give them. Obviously, they will hope that their teammate and friend is okay. We just mentioned the latest news, which seems encouraging. But clearly, they would go into any round of 16 clash, if it arrives, with now a real bounce. And I think the other positive is that Dominic Szoboszlai, there were real moments tonight when you thought that is peak Dominic Szoboszlai. And if Hungary have him in the knockout stages, if they make it, there'll be a very tough opponent to face.
Well, former England international Andy Hinchcliffe has been on commentary for the game, and he joins us now from Stuttgart. Good evening, Andy.
Good evening, guys.
Andy, what an ending. That final few minutes were absolutely wild.
I never saw it coming either, because the game, I think both sides were a little bit nervous, were fairly conservative. There was opportunities, but there just was a lack of attacking quality up until that 100th minute. And Choboat's finish was extraordinary. Again, the drama we got right at the death. But again, it's because both sides were trying to win the game. Scotland sending players up, Steve Clarke making changes. They tried to win it and they got caught out. We were short in defensive numbers. But the first real bit of attacking quality I think we saw in the game decided the game. It was an incredible finish from Choboat.
We've seen some very late goals at this Euro, Andy. Talk to us about the scenes in that Hungary end when that ball hit the back of the net. That must have been something to remember.
Yeah, and they probably thought their chance had gone. There was an opportunity for Szoboszlai, but he just basically smashed it at the goalkeeper and it was saved by Gunn. And then Choboat hit the post as well, and he probably thought his moment to be the hero had gone. So probably the Hungary fans are thinking, oh no, Scotland have got a corner, they're going to win it. But then this is why football is so incredible. And the counter-attack, I think all evening for Hungary, looked dangerous. And they just managed to put it together when it mattered most. So again, it's that where you think everything is lost and then suddenly everything is game, possibly. We're not sure whether Hungary are going to make it through. We'll have to wait and see. But that is why this game that we love, it's absolutely crazy. And even at this level, international level, it gives us drama like tonight. It was just incredible.
Scotland heading home, but I think you had probably the peak rendition of Flower of Scotland of this whole tournament so far, Andy, pre-match. What can you say about the fans and what they've produced over the past week and a half?
It's not just inside the stadiums as well. We've been around a lot of Scottish fans. We've worked in Munich, worked in Stuttgart. They're the way, even coming out of the stadium tonight, they're high-fiving the Hungarian fans as well, saying, I wish you all the best. You know, and if it's, so their attitude inside the stadiums, the noise they've made, the passion, the anthem, I don't think there's a set of fans that can compete with the Scottish fans. They have been extraordinary. The players know that. Steve Clarke has talked about them as well. Absolutely incredible numbers that they brought to Germany as well. But sadly, again, Steve Clarke talks about the players kind of doing the fans justice and giving them what they truly deserve for this incredible support. But there, I think the way they conducted themselves everywhere they've been in numbers has been absolutely extraordinary. They've been a credit to the country. They really have.
And Andy, I don't know if you ever had this in your playing career, but will it be slightly odd now for the Hungary players? Because I imagine they'll go back to their training camp and they'll kind of have to get their calculators out, look at the permutations, work out who they need to support now in the coming days to see if they can actually make it through to the round of 16 as one of the third best placed teams.
Well, this is it. They've done their job. It was hard enough winning the game tonight, and it took a long time before they did it. But they've done their job. They've won the game. The goal difference, whether that count against them, we'll have to wait and see. But they're in a bit of a no man's land now where they're just hoping and praying. But all they could do was win tonight. And actually, I think they probably deserve to get a result in some respects, because I've done both their other games as well. And I do feel they deserve more from those matches as well. Against Germany in particular, they create a lot of opportunities, didn't score, and actually gave Germany a real game as well. So they have performed really well. Arguably, they perform better than Scotland at this tournament. So maybe, I know it's a horrible way to lose a game, but maybe Hungary do deserve the opportunity, if it comes along, to give the knockout stages a go. But again, they've got to kind of clear their heads and think, hang on, suddenly everything was lost. Now yeah. We've possibly gained everything. Everything we came to the tournament to achieve is suddenly possibly there. So again, this wait for them will be interminable. It'll be awful. And they'll just be hoping and praying that other teams do them favours now.
And if they do go through, Andy, what kind of team do opposition sides face when they play this Hungary team?
Well, it's a team that's probably got incredible belief that that's what this win. It doesn't matter how late in the day it is. Doesn't matter how little possession that you had, you won. And I think it's their first win. I think it's the coach's first win in the European Championships for Hungary. So again, what that means to them, the belief that that gives them. They are a good team. They're well-structured. They defend well. I think Scotland didn't do enough to test them. But clearly, they've got a lot of good things in their sides. If they can get Szoboszlai on the ball and playing at his very best, there's a chance they could surprise a few, but it's just getting out of the group is so tough. They possibly could have done it, and belief and confidence is massive in football, and they're going to have bundles of it now if they do manage to go into the knockout stages.
Andy, thank you so much for joining us moments after the full-time whistle in Stuttgart, and we'll speak to you soon.
Absolute pleasure, guys. Take care.
Andy Hinchcliffe, former England international, live from Stuttgart. Let's get some reaction from the Scotland camp next. As we mentioned, their captain, Andy Robertson's been speaking in the last few moments.
There's nothing really to say, to be honest. We gave it everything. We knew we had to win this game. Both teams had to win. And if it was on the counter-attack, obviously, we've had a chance there. And I think it could have went either way. But that's football. That's how it goes. And take a long time to go over this one.
Andy Robertson speaking there. So Scotland out, but Germany and Switzerland definitely through, Chris. And they'll already be looking at their potential opponents in the round of 16.
Yeah, they will. So Germany have won Group A, and they will play the team that finished second in Group C. So it's either Serbia, England, Denmark or Slovenia. And the Group B runners-up, Switzerland, they will play the runners-up in Group B. And that game will be in Berlin. That is Spain, Italy, Croatia or Albania, which is actually the section we're going to get to next.
OK, let's get to it on the Euro Show.
UEFA Euro 2024 is setting the pace for sustainability in sports. This summer, matches have been organised in regional clusters, reducing team flights by around 75% compared to Euro 2016. This also means fans can enjoy a smoother, eco-friendly journey between games,
helping to ensure sustainability is at the heart of the tournament.
A reminder to download the official Euro 2024 app if you haven't already. Change your fantasy team with injury updates regularly from our team of in-camp reporters. Co-commentator Lucy Ward is also on the ground in Germany, live from Dortmund on the show tonight. Lucy, overall, how much are you enjoying the tournament? Can you give us a feel of what it's been like in Germany over the past week or so?
Yeah, it's been brilliant. I mean, I'm covering the games at Dortmund and Gelsenkirchen, and so we'll have the likes of England, we've had Albania, we've had Georgia, we'll have Turkey, and these are all fans who have absolutely marvelled in being in a stadium. So, because we're in position very, very early, sort of 4 or 5 hours before kickoff, and when they let the fans in, the looks on everybody's faces as they come up and take the seat, and they're just so happy. It's just been absolutely marvellous. And then around the town, everybody's sort of been happy and singing, lots of different fans, you know, communicating with each other, having a laugh. It's been a very, very good atmosphere. And Dortmund's a good place because obviously it's got the fan park, and I think, you know, quite a lot of different countries' fans have been, you know, congregating there and watching games. So yeah, it's been very, very good.
Okay, some big games to preview shortly as Group B concludes on Monday. But first, here are your day 10 Euro headlines. Czechia have confirmed that star striker Patrick Schick's gone to hospital for a scan after he was forced off against Georgia. Assistant Yaroslav Kostel said we'll have to wait and see if he'll be fit for Turkey on Wednesday. He added that an initial examination has given them some hope the injury isn't as bad as first thought.
Denmark have been boosted by news that midfielder Thomas Delaney has recovered from the injury that kept him out of the draw with England. It means he will be available for their next match, which is against Serbia.
And staying with Group C, England captain Harry Kane got a surprise when he faced the media today. One opportunistic local journalist asked him if he'd signed for seventh-tier German team Lauscher Neuhaus.
We have a seventh division team, you may heard of it, SG Lauscher Neuhaus. They had a contract offer for you. You get free Thüringer Rostbratwurst, all you can eat, free drinks in every bar, and a Mindestlohn. And you would have much more time for the national team. So if you want, I have your jersey here. You could take it. Do you want it?
It's very well prepared. I'd have to talk to my agent and see what we can do. But you have good golf courses. I mean, the golf course we're staying on is fantastic. So. Yeah, it's not a bad plus.
What do you reckon, Chris, after the Mbappe deal to Real Madrid? Is that the second big transfer of the summer?
Well, everyone needs to have a future plan, don't they? I can't imagine Vincent Kompany, the new Bayern boss, would be too happy.
No, those are your day 10 Euro headlines. And a reminder, of course, we're into this final round of group matches. Everyone will play their final group game over the coming days and we'll know the shape of the knockout stages of the competition. On that, let's look ahead to Monday's action then, where Group B will conclude.
Federico Di Marco with the throw, and it's a really terrible one as he gets it away. Oh, it's an outstanding start. Nedim Bayrami. Oh, I've hardly ever seen anything like it. Di Marco's there. It's 2-1 Italy.
Fabian Ruiz, a smashing goal. Asani. Goalkeeper's out of position now. It's an own goal. Susic will take all the credit. They've equalised. Yasula.
Away from Di Lorenzo. Oh, it's an own goal. And Riccardo Calafiori, the unfortunate defender who just couldn't get out of the way, will turn it away.
Yeah, this is an extraordinary group. Spain 6 points, Italy 3 points, Albania and Croatia 1 point each. Chris, how's this group shaping up then?
So Spain are already through and as section winners. Italy will join them if they avoid defeat to Croatia. But if they lose, they could be out. That's how tight it is behind Spain. Both Croatia and Albania can still reach the round of 16 if they win their matches.
OK, let's start with Croatia against Italy in Leipzig. And we'll go to the Croatian camp now with our UEFA reporter, Elvir Islamović. Elvir, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me again.
You're in Leipzig ahead of the game. You mentioned when you were last on the show about how well Croatia can do in a final group game and a good record against Italy. Are you optimistic that they can qualify?
How? Well, it depends. I mean, they didn't impress really in the first two matches, but what I think, I mean, their slogan is actually the best when it's the hardest. So I really expect them to be at the top tomorrow. It's a really, really important match that will show their true potential, which is high, I think. It happened many times before that they had a lot of big matches like this. Like, for example, the last Euro, they didn't start well as well as here. And then they had the last match against Scotland. And they defeated Scotland, and they qualify for the knockout round. So I really expect that they are capable to defeat Italy tomorrow.
You've been around the players and the coach, and I guess the fans in Germany. What is the mood like ahead of this enormous game for Croatia?
Well, to be honest, I mean, it's I didn't expect that the team will keep that attitude. Well, I expected, but not at this level, because they are really positive. They are really they're showing that team spirit. The fans are really positive. I met really lots of fans here in Leipzig already. There's in the first match in Berlin, there was 100,000 fans in Berlin. There was tens of thousands in Hamburg, expecting the same here. They are really loyal. They are really positive. They all expect Croatia can beat Italy tomorrow. So, well, the kickoff is coming close, and I'm more and more optimist in a final result, to be honest.
And a big game as well for Luka Modric at the age of 38 now, Elvir.
Yeah, well, this could be a really significant moment, as you know, in case of Croatia lose being eliminated here tomorrow, it might be the last match. He's definitely the greatest Croatian player in history, and you know that this saddens me because you know Luka does not deserve to say goodbye to the national team in such a way, like closing the last match and you know, saying goodbye with not really good performances. So that's why I believe Croatia will be at their best tomorrow with Luka as a captain, and they will still play a couple of few matches here in Germany and not to lose and just. No, it wouldn't be it. It wouldn't be it. Luka is really one of the greatest footballers in the world. It wouldn't be a great moment for him to say goodbye after a loss at Euro.
And Elvir, last time you were on, you got your crystal ball out and you correctly predicted that Ivan Perisic would start and that Josko Vardiol would move inside a bit. Do you expect the setup and the formation to be similar as it was for match two for Croatia?
Yeah, it's really not easy to predict. Really, it's probably I don't remember when was the last time that we had so many changes from match to match, and this time will be the same. So I expect Dalic will make another three or four changes. So if I need to predict, Guardiol will move back to his left back position. Perisic is dropping out from the team. There will be another two central defenders, actually Šutalo from the last time, and and Pongracic or Erlić will jump in. There will be a big change in the midfield. I'm not 100% sure, but it's very obvious that Brozović is not playing well, so he'll be replaced by one of the young talents, Sučić. Mario Pašalić, who played in Italian league for Atalanta, he's also jumping in. So there will be at least three or four changes for this match, and it's very difficult to predict first 11. But I think this is it.
Yeah, appreciate your thoughts on the team, Elvir. Croatia, Italy in Leipzig on Monday night. A huge game, of course, at Euro 2024. Elvir, thanks for coming on and enjoy that game in the east of Germany.
Thank you very much. I hope we'll have a chance to speak again in the knockout phase.
Absolutely. Cheers, Elvir.
Bye.
Elvir Islamovic, our Croatia reporter there. Let's hear some of his interview with Manchester City midfielder Mateo Kovacic.
It's a big match, of course, but in the end, every match for Croatia is big for us. But obviously, tomorrow is decisive. For sure, it's a big opponent. They won the Euros a couple years ago, and they have a great player. So it will be a tough game. They have a great coach, so they will be well prepared for sure. Every game we play, the support is massive and means a lot for us. And of course, tomorrow will mean even more because it's a decisive game. So they're always with us, and we're very thankful to them.
With me, Rob Daly, on the Euroshow, and Chris Parrott, his former footballer and co-commentator Lucy Ward, who has covered both of Italy's games so far. Lucy, what have you made of them?
Yeah, I mean, I thought they were excellent versus Albania. They went behind really early. But then I thought they gave, I mean, Spain were good, but I thought they gave Spain a lot of respect, sat a little bit deeper. And even had a chance at the end, Spain made about four changes, took the best players off and nearly let Italy back into it.
Luciano Spalletti before this game, Lucy, talking about Federico Di Marco, who has missed some training. He says he's fit again. He's available for selection, but they won't know until a fitness test before the game to confirm if he can start. How big a player is he? Is he for Italy?
Yeah, he's important. I mean, he didn't really get forward against Spain that much, but he did against Albania. So he's certainly the outlet. They build with a three with him at left back going forward and high, but I don't know whether he might move back Spalletti to a back three because of obviously that inter core of players that suit that. But, you know, they looked all right. And I know as much as Spain were very good, Italy was still in it at the end. So, it's not that bad what's happened to them.
Lucy, can you explain to our listeners about this kind of potential inter identity that the Italy team could take?
Yeah, I mean, he's playing Bastoni and Di Marco, but he's playing Calafiori in between them, which is quite interesting because they're both left-footed centre-backs. So my thought was, wow, you don't play two left-footed centre-backs together, but it's worked quite well. But they always build in a three anyway, but I just think that a lot of the players are used to a back three, and that may help them because it's not a defensive, it just allows two forwards, which that's how Spalletti uses a back three. He does it because it allows him to play two up front.
It's not impossible that both these teams could go through, but it's unlikely mathematically. So, I mean, how big is this game? Croatia and Italy, you know, two European footballing powerhouses, and there might only be one spot ultimately in the round of 16.
Yeah, I mean, Croatia had a bad result against Spain, but you know, I think Spain were very clinical and Croatia made mistakes, but actually had the most possession. And then obviously the late equaliser Albania got, which was marvellous for them. But yeah, Italy is certainly a team in transition. Spalletti's been in less than a year. He's trying to introduce a younger core into the team and at the same time trying not to disrupt the balance of, you know, the better, more experienced players like Barella. Chiesa didn't play as well in the second game. So I think there's a lot of pressure from the Italian media that they play well and go through on a high.
Let's see if the holders can progress. Still to come, we're going to look ahead to the other game in Group B on Monday, Albania versus Spain.
Euro 2024 in Germany has sustainability at its core. All group stage matches have been organised to reduce travel, with teams travelling by train rather than plane as much as possible. If you're lucky enough to have tickets for this summer's tournament, you can play your part too by taking the train to matches, with discounted train travel across Germany for all ticket holders.
A reminder, you can make changes to your fantasy football team ahead of Monday on the Euro 2024 app, which has everything you need for the tournament. Next, we're going to the game in Dusseldorf, which is Albania versus Spain. Lucy Ward's with us. Lucy, first of all, you covered the Italy-Albania game. What did you make of Albania?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit mad because they scored after 23 seconds or whatever it was. Bayrami Scott, and that everybody was just getting into the seats and the place went absolutely crackers because obviously a lot of Albanian fans is a big game for them. But, you know, they did well, but they just didn't quite have the quality that Italy had to get the equaliser. But then obviously settled in against Croatia. I mean, they play sort of a 4-2-3-1, inverted wingers. You know, they're quite dynamic. The two central midfielders are very good. And they caused Italy some problems.
Well, ahead of this huge game, let's hear from Albania defender Berat Gjimsiti.
Nothing is impossible in life. This I learned during my career. But for sure, going to be a really hard game. Maybe the hardest in this group, but still we are there, you know. We have the chances to show why we are here, why we deserve to be in this position where we are, and to try our best to make to disturb them and to make them problem tomorrow.
Well, Albania need to win this game, and they could potentially go through as group runners-up. They'll be unable to reach the round of 16 if they lose, or if they draw and Croatia beat Italy. So it is an enormous day for Albania, who are going to be backed again by tens of thousands of very noisy supporters.
Certainly are. OK, Chris, how about we head over to our Spanish correspondent?
I think it's only right, given they've got 6 points from two games, and we can get the Spanish view now. Graham Hunter is our reporter with them in Dusseldorf. Thanks for coming on the show this evening, Graham.
Now I'm going to check you off before we've even begun. It's a yellow card. We're going to win this tournament. You should have been with us from day one. You've missed a lot of entertainment. I'm certain the show has been stellar, maybe even Emmy caliber. But boy, Spain is the place to be, boys.
Well, that's why we got you on, Graham. It's been
Correct.
Such a wonderful start. Two wins from two. Has this surpassed the expectation, do you think, back in Spain and for the Spain fans who have travelled out to Germany?
Well, let's start with the important person, which is me. And then the answer would be no, because asked by UEFA who I get to win the tournament before the tournament started, it's Spain. You asked me about back home. Maybe, because there have been one or two words from players. For example, Fabian Ruiz in his press conference the other day said, I urge people to value Spanish players more. I draw a direct parallel with last summer, when they won the Nations League, beating Italy in the semi-final and Croatia in the final, where what I noticed was an extraordinary attitude, total faith in the coach. But beyond that, and this is not something that you always hear, they really like him. They really respect him. They trust in his ideas. They almost feel, I think, a fraternal affection for Luis de la Fuente, who turned 63 the other day, so he'd need to be a very big brother. But I promise you that however Spain cope with Albania and the guaranteed first knockout match, which comes in the 30th, and then I think after that, probably a quarterfinal with Germany, however they deal with that or whatever results come their way, this has been a training camp down in the Black Forest where the intensity, the focus, the concentration, the enjoyment and the team spirit have all been 9.5 out of 10.
Graham, how apparent going into the tournament was it that these two young wingers, Nico Williams and Lamine Yamal, four appearances each in qualifying, were going to be so pivotal to the starting 11?
I genuinely mean, and I'm repeating a theme here, but I told you so. I am being 100% serious and saying blindingly obvious. If you have followed Spanish football at all, whether La Roja or Athletic Club, then Nico Williams has been screaming at you for attention because he's got that extraordinary mix of, you know, getting away from the fact that he is a brilliant athlete. He's tremendously quick, but technically I think he's pretty gifted. But what's changed dramatically over the last two seasons is his appreciation of the moment, decision making, when he thinks he's got his opponent on toast, and Italy's defenders absolutely felt that, were hurt by that on match day two. But without him reaching anywhere near his peak yet at 21, the acceleration of his football intelligence over the last two seasons has been a beautiful thing to watch. So he's approaching just about as complete a player as you can be at 21. And Lamine is a different case altogether. He just simply keeps ripping up records. There's no ceiling for him. Lamine's decision-making and knowledge of what to do with the ball and lack of frills. So many wingers of whatever age will say, well, the ball is mine and I crave the oohs and ahs of the stadium. How many, both of you, all our listeners, how many wide players, creative players, flair players have we seen who they do just need to show a little? Lamine has none of that, literally none. When he's on the ball, He's thinking, he's got peripheral vision. What's the best thing I can do? And at 16, to be able to think like that, to have made 50 appearances for Barcelona 3 years earlier than Leo Messi made it. And I come back to roundabout way to your question, which is, I remember telling people in the build-up to this tournament, people who were coming to work with me or people that maybe I only see at tournaments, and they were saying, Lamine will start? I said, yes, absolutely, 100% you'll start. So I think they're that good that if you've been following Spanish football, either internationally or club football, you knew.
And Graham, finally, will they start this third and final group game, or do we expect rotation given that Spain are already into the last 16?
No, I think that the team might not change unless Simon, but I think equally it could be Raya, at which point it'll be Navas, probably Laporte, Vivian, Grimaldo in midfield. I think Subimendi, Micomarino, Dani Olmo up front, Joselu, Oyarzabal on the left, and Ferran Torres on the right. I think that will be your 11. Therefore, you have your answer that whether it's 9 or 10 that the coach rotates. One, they need it. Two, he told me after the Italy game, little details like being able to rotate in this match and having an extra day compared to our rivals before we play our first knockout match. These details count. It's a long season. Some of my players are tired. And therefore, you can expect that against Albania, Spain will absolutely play to win. But there will be 9 or 10 who haven't yet started that do so here in Dusseldorf.
Graham, top stop as ever. Thanks for coming on and enjoy the game.
Viva España.
UEFA's Spain reporter, very confident Spain reporter, Graham Hunter there.
Yes, the Spanish head coach, Luis de la Fuente, has been speaking ahead of this game on that aforementioned rotation by Graham. He said, we're only focused on sending out the best players for our game plan. Of course, we might say this player is rested or that one's rested, but this is a tournament with 7 games. We can't worry about injuries or suspensions. Giving mixed messages, but you'd imagine that does mean there will be a little bit of rotation. Lucy, you saw Spain firsthand beat Italy, a game that was actually a little bit nervy at the end, given how dominant Spain had been. But what have you made of this incarnation of Spain?
Yeah, I mean, they look good. They've got the basics right. They've got fullbacks comfortable going inside and outside. They've got a number 6 who's excellent, 2 natural 8s that go beyond, and then they've got 2 out-and-out wingers and a traditional centre-forward. It's simple, but they've got technical quality.
They certainly have. Their last game, of course, coming against Albania. Let's quickly switch things back to Sunday night's action, what we've witnessed tonight at Euro 2024. And Chris, a reminder of the scores.
Yes, 2 thrilling games, which were decided very late on in this one. Hungary getting the win that they needed against Scotland, beating them by 1-0. And it finished Switzerland 1, Germany 1. That late goal for Germany, enough for them to top the section.
Let's hear from the Swiss captain, Granit Xhaka.
Like a player, you want, you go to the pitch to win games. More disappointed if you concede in the last part of the game, but... in general, I think we showed a great character without the ball. We played very, very well. And in the end, I think we can be happy with the point. Of course, we knew the quality the Germans have. It's not always easy to play with the ball how we normally want it. But I think that without the ball, we was very aggressive, tried to press them very high. And most of the time was a good job from our side. The first step is done. And we are looking forward for the next round, for the next opponent. And I think that after this game, everyone has, I hope, a little bit more respect about us, about Switzerland. And let's see who we have.
So close to a famous win against Germany, a famous win against the hosts. Let's go to Stuttgart next and get some reaction from the Hungary camp, their midfielder, Callum Stiles.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable to score in the last minute is the best feeling that anyone could have on a football pitch. Shout out to Kevin, he's a top player and he's done it for the nation and for Barney. Obviously both teams had everything on the line. It was a must win for both teams. Thankfully we came out on top, but we had chance after chance and we hit the crossbar, hit the post, and you're thinking to yourself, like, it's not going to come. But we had a chance at the end and he put it away, thankfully. It's a waiting game now, but we've done all we can to win the game.
Yeah, so they'll stay in Germany for now. We've also been hearing from the Hungary captain, Chris.
Yeah, and like Stiles, actually dedicating this victory to Barnabas Varga, who was stretchered off, saying, of course, the victory is for Barney. We hope he is fine. We did what we could in the last round. Now we wait and trust that this will be enough to send us through as one of the third best placed teams.
Okay, the last word goes to Lucy Ward, who's seen so many teams across Euro 2024 so far. Lucy, what is the best team you've seen so far, and who do you think can go all the way and win this tournament?
Do you know what? That's a really difficult question, but I think probably the best one in terms of strength and depth is Portugal. I think that Spain have got a bit of a weakness when they lose possession. There's big gaps between the units, but I don't think that Portugal have that weakness. But yeah, Portugal look good, but obviously I've watched Germany on the TV and they look special as well.
Lucy, it's been great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for your company.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
And thank you, everybody, for listening this evening. We're on air every match night, minutes after the final game, on the Euro 2024 app and at Euro2024.com around 11 p.m. CEST. And remember, this show also available as the official podcast. Please subscribe using your favourite podcast provider.
A reminder, we'll be back on Monday night reviewing the conclusion of Group B, as Albania take on Spain and Croatia take on Italy in the toughest of groups. And we'll look ahead to Tuesday's action in Group C and Group D as well. My thanks to Lucy Ward and Chris Parrott. It's goodbye for now.
Thank you for listening to the official Euro 2024 podcast, an IMG production for UEFA.